We're going to bring a message entitled A Christian View of Children, A Christian View of Children. Matthew chapter number 18, let's all stand. We're going to read the first 11 verses, Matthew chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, and for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. A Christian view of children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would be with us, meet with us today. Thank you for what we've already experienced, Lord, on this Lord's Day. And now as we preach the Bible, I pray, Lord, that we, for many of us, will just be reminded of some truths that we already know, we already believe. But Lord, we need them reaffirmed in our lives. For others, Lord, that we may be presented, maybe for the first time, the right view, the scriptural view, the biblical view, the Christ view of children. And so I would ask that you'd help me as I preach, Lord. May I have your heart, your eyes, your mind for these few minutes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There's a great verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. In that verse, God presents to each of us a challenge. This is a high challenge. This is a noble challenge. The verse reads, Let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus. What we are instructed to do is to learn how Christ thinks and then change our thinking to match His. We are to so study, so learn, so examine, so follow the thinking pattern of Jesus Christ that soon we operate on His philosophies, we soon view life from His perspective, and we eventually access our priorities based on what He thinks is important, not what we might have believed before. One of the most interesting studies we can conduct is to focus on the parts of the Bible that deals with Christ's mindset. And so today we're going to look at Christ's mindset towards children. In Matthew chapter 18, we see very specifically how Christ viewed the lambs of His flock. We see Christ trying to teach His disciples to view children properly. This morning we want to examine this portion of Scripture. Why, preacher? So that our church, so that we make sure at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that we view children as Christ views them. Let me give you some things from this chapter. Number one, Christ elevated children as the greatest, quote, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Look at the first two verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? By the way, I wonder, based on what you can recall about this group of men at this point in their life, I wonder what they were fishing for here. Remember two of the disciples getting in an out-and-out argument? I mean a throw-down, cut-loose argument as Jesus was traveling along trying to teach them about which one of them was greater and would be greater when they got to heaven than the other? You know, that pretty much defines most of our problem right there. Let me help you this morning. Brother Jerry, who in Christ's mind is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Senior saints? Sorry, not you. That's right, just let it sink in, not you. Okay, sorry, Sorry, so if you spend any time this week sitting around pouting about, well, they're doing all that stuff over there at VBS, but they don't do hardly anything for us. Sorry, you're not the greatest. Adults, sorry. Sorry, I know your whole world revolves around you, but Christ's mind don't revolve around you. He doesn't think you're the most important in the kingdom. Sorry. Man, some of you are looking shocked. I mean, come on. We're going to rename you Boswell. Anybody ever driven up by Boswell? Boswell has this sign, Boswell, Indiana, on the highway there. It says, Boswell, the center of the universe. Now, we have Clay City. We have the Mayberry of the Midwest. But that's nothing compared to Boswell. Boswell's the center of the universe. If we're not careful, we got a bunch of people ought to be called Boswell. Everything that you've worried about this week is because of is about you. Wait a minute. Nope. Sorry. Sorry, preachers, just telling you. Young adults. I'm glad we have a young adults class, but sorry. Sorry. Guess what? You had your chance to be a child. Time to grow up. You had that little time in your life when the world did revolve around you. Guess what? It doesn't anymore. Grow up. Hey, teenagers. Hey, by the way, I'll let you choose. You want to be children or you want to be adults? If you want to be adults, then sorry. By the way, the philosophy that we work off here is a biblical philosophy. We don't treat teenagers like kids. We try to begin the process of treating them like adults and bringing them up into responsibility. Sorry. The whole world doesn't revolve around you. Wake up call. Sorry. You say, Brother Jerry, who is in Christ's mind the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Children are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said here. When they asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2, and Jesus called a little child unto them and set them in the midst of them. That was his answer. Now, if we are to adopt a Christian view of children, then here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to understand that ministering to children is our top priority. Did you get that? Well, I was under the impression that no group was more important than the other. Well, that's why you come to church and that's why we preach the Bible, so you can learn some things. Amen. No, the children's ministries. The children's ministry. I'm not saying that senior saints are not important. I'm not saying adults are not important. I'm not saying young adults are not important. I'm not saying teenagers are not important. And we have ministries that reach out to all of these groups of people and minister all these groups of people. But the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is children. You know, I've listened to a lot of churches and a lot of preachers want to get up and talk about how children ought to be reached and children ought to be ministered to and children are so important. But you know what I always say? Follow the money. That's what they always say. Follow the money. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I appreciate being a part. I'm not saying we're doing everything we should or anything, everything we could. But I'm saying there's no one in the world that can deny that the vast majority of the resources that come into this church are used to reach out to win children, to disciple children, to minister to children, to mentor children, and to prepare the next generation of believers. And so that is priority one. Parents, if you're going to adopt a Christian view of your children, then you need to understand that they are to be your greatest priority. Dad, your hobby should not be more important than your children. Mom, your TV program should not trump your children. One of the greatest pieces of advice I can give to you is this. Do not let serving the Lord separate you from your children. Instead, include your children as much as you can in all that you do for the Lord. Some people have used their children as an excuse not to serve the Lord, as if being a good father or mother makes you choose between serving in your local church or being successful in the home. I don't believe that. I contend that families can and should serve together in the local assembly. And by the way, everywhere you look in this church, you see it illustrated right in front of you. If you want to do it, you can do it that way. I appreciate that those that minister in nursing homes, they take that on as a family project. It's just not a man showing up by himself. His wife, the kids come. They all join in ministering together. You know what? You are helping to include your children. You're ministering to your children and through your children while you're ministering to others. Hey, don't leave the kids behind. Bring them along as much as you possibly can. I like the fact that bus routes around here are family projects. I like that idea. I like to see a husband-wife team take on a ministry. I like them to say, hey, kids, this isn't something daddy does or mommy does. This is something that all of us do. Hey, let's all get a burden for bus kids. Let's all visit together. Let's all pray together. Let's all carry this in our hearts together. I like that. I'll just say this. I like soul winning. I like to see people bring their children to soul winning. You know what? Church-wide soul winning means church-wide soul winning. We do on Saturday morning provide a nursery for some of those smaller ones. But I'm going to tell you something. If your child's of an age where, you know what, they can follow along and behave themselves, it's a good thing. Let me say it again. It's a good thing for them to have from their earliest memories on, going soul winning with mom, going soul winning with dad. Hey, this isn't something that we said goodbye and wait as somebody disappeared to do. This is something we all went and done together. I believe we have to rethink some things. I came back here, and of course, Brother Greg Bertram's helped me out with being our visitation director, and he puts the packets together, and I popped into the foyer several times on a Friday, and listen, Brother Greg wasn't back there putting the packets together, or Sister Tanya wasn't back there. The family was back there. All of the kids had their hands on it. All of them were being a part of it. All of them were praying over those packets and getting ready to see them sent out. What I'm saying is, hey, just decide, you're going to take your family, you're going to take your wife, you're going to take your children, you're all going to serve the Lord together. That's a great way to live. Christ elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just helping you this morning. If you let me, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you this morning. The honest truth is, the satanic plan is to try to create generation gaps. Try to turn the hearts of the children against their mom and dad. And the heart of mom and dad, watch this, it's not just kids that have their heart turned away from their parents. Many times, the reason that happens is because at some point, the hearts of the parents got turned away from the children. And what I'm saying is this, folks, I believe children ought to be priority one. Yes, in the church and in its outreach and our ministry strategy, but also in the home. Listen, we got to get past this thing where children are a burden. I'm so tired of hearing mothers complain. Excuse me. Maybe you ought to sit down and talk to some ladies that have, up to this point in their life, been barren, have not had the opportunity to have children. You know what? They'll probably smack the snot out of you for saying that. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt you a bit. I mean this. Boy, well, I want, once again, we need to have our hearts turned. Dads, stop treating that little daughter like she's a bother. Stop treating those boys as if they're a bother or a burden for you to have to drag around. Hey, why don't we rejoice in our hearts that God's blessed us with children? Why don't we treat them as what they truly are according to the Scriptures? They're a heritage of the Lord, a gift from God, a responsibility to be embraced and cherished. So first of all, Christ elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Number two, what we learn out of Matthew chapter number 18 is this. Christ believed that children could and should be converted. Amen. And then in verse 3 it says, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, it doesn't say a big kid, it says a little kid. Now, I understand that there's what we have labeled as the age of accountability. I understand that a child has to get to a certain age, certain point of understanding and comprehension before they can grasp the gospel and understand their need of salvation. I understand all of those things, but folks, get this out of your mind. I heard one preacher preach and tote this philosophy for several years, and I think he's harmed the cause of Christ. He said nobody can get saved before they're 12 years old. Well, if that's true, you're listening to a lost man preach this morning. Because I got saved when I was 5. And amazing, the pastor, the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Jasonville, Indiana, saved when he was 5 years old. You know what? Children can be saved. Children ought to be saved. I want to make this public proclamation. Children can and should be won to Christ on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If they are not, then we're not doing our job. D.L. Moody, you know, all know the story. Most of you have heard it 100 times. He went out soul winning one time. He came back. Somebody said, did you have anybody saved? He said, yeah, I had 1.5. And they said, what? One child, one adult and a child? And he said, no, one child and an adult. He didn't view that child as the half and the adult as one. He viewed that child as one and that adult as half. You know why? Because when you win an adult to Christ, you only have a portion of their life that they can give to the service of the Lord. You win a child to Christ, and you know what? They can give all of their life to Jesus Christ. Someone said, children must become adult-like before they can be saved. But the Bible here teaches us the opposite. Adults must become childlike in order to be saved. What do they mean by that? Childlike in their humility. Childlike in their faith. Seems like the older we get, the smarter we think we get. And the more we hear and are affected and infected by humanism and all that the world tries to do, and I mentioned this the other Wednesday night, I'm telling you folks, the system, the educational system, is making full-blown humanists out of our young people before they get out of junior high school. They're almost salvation-proofing our young people because of a hellish philosophy that's taught. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus Christ says to all of each and every one of us, and I think it's interesting at the end of this portion of Scripture, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. You know what? He made that statement at the end of a section talking about children. Well, we had a lot of joys this week. What a blessing. But I think all of us would agree that what topped everything was 38 children coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. By the way, teachers, thank you for sharing those testimonies. There's a lot of those stories I hadn't heard, and there's probably other stories I haven't heard. Share them with the preacher. I want to hear about them. I had no idea that the Sadducees, one of their nephews, came and received Christ their Savior. Man, I about had a hallelujah fit up here. It's not that one of these kids are any more important than the other, but boy, it's just good to see somebody that some of our families have prayed for years come to Christ. I got a special blessing. I see Jamie sitting back there, and Jamie Hansen's when she came as a little teeny girl, and guess what? Got saved in children's ministry. And she showed up last weekend with the intent of visiting a weekend and going home. Found out we were having vacation Bible school. Begged her husband, let us stay. I want the children to have vacation Bible school. Blessed Old Baptist Church. And I can't remember the name of your daughter. Which one got saved? Cecilia. She came up and I got to talk to her. And she said, I'm not saved. Boy, she got big old crocodile tears in her eyes. God's all over. And I looked at her and I looked back at Jamie and I caught her eye and I went like this. And Jamie came up and got her. And I thought, you know what? A mama ought to just lead her daughter to the Lord. And watch them sit right back there. How many years ago did one of you, somebody in this church, sit down with this little girl when she was a little girl and lead her to Christ at this same church? I'm saying God's good. Amen. Woo! Amen. Yes, I'm telling you what. One of the greatest joys we have is being able to receive these children and listen to them, talk to them. By the way, we're very careful with them. And we preach actually to the younger group. We preach Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before we give an invitation to the younger group. We try to be thorough. Even in our dealing, we try to be very thorough. But I'm going to tell you something. I think it's a hellish philosophy, those that are teaching that young children cannot be saved. I think it's a hellish philosophy. I have no patience with it. I praise God for what he allowed us to see. Veronica Waterman and Johnny, they called last week and said that they had to go down a situation. We thought you were going to keep your niece while her dad was over in Iraq. Situation changed. For a while, she stayed somewhere else. And then that there was a situation there where that had to change. So Veronica drove all the way down Tennessee, right? Dad headed down there, picked her up, brought her back. Guess when that just happened to happen? Yep. Right before vacation Bible school started. The little girl came, set Monday, listened to the preaching, set Tuesday, listened to the preaching. Came Wednesday, listened to the preaching. Wednesday, invitation was given, came forward, received Jesus Christ, they're saying. Don't you tell me God's not interested in seeing children saved. Man, this is exciting stuff. What I'm saying is this. Children can and should receive Christ as their Savior. And that ought to be our target group. What? By the way, you say, Brother Jerry, 38 children receiving Jesus as their Savior this week. What does that mean? I mean, come on, what does that really mean? What are you so excited about? That means they'll never have to go to hell. That's what it means. That means if the rapture happens today, they're out of here. That's what that means. It means they'll never face the tribulation period. That's what that means. It means that they now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. That means that there's been an order issued in heaven for 38 new mansions to be built. That's what it means. What does it mean? It means that there was a lot of celebrating in heaven this week. Angels rejoiced. Christ triumphed. The devil lost out. That's what it means when 38 children come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It means that 38 young people now have a chance to live a Christian life, and who knows what they might accomplish for Jesus Christ. Who knows? Don't you dare look down your nose at a child being saved. You may not realize that in 10, 15, 20 years, they're a missionary on the mission field. They're an evangelist preaching revivals. They're a pastor. You know what? Maybe they grew up to be a bus captain reaching more young people just as they were reached. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, it's good stuff. What else does this portion of Scripture teach us about how the Lord views children and what His mindset is? Number three, Christ views, boy, I hope you'll get this. Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to Himself. Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to himself. Verse number 5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. You ought to underline that. Receiveth me. Thank you, teachers, for your kindness this week to these children. Every person who invested in children this week, Christ put on your account what you did as a personal kindness shown to him. Those of you that baked cookies last week, I'm telling you what, if you were like my house, cookies were being baked and they were laying everywhere, and every time I asked about one, all I heard was no. So honestly, it's not the women that are sacrificing the most when it comes to baking cookies. It's the men who have to come home, smell all of that, and not be allowed any of them. Thank God for waking up in the middle of the night and the wife's still asleep. Amen. Thank God for that. By the way, Mrs. Dively, that one container from my wife that said 37 cookies on the outside, there was only 33 in that. All right, I just thought I'd share that with you. Children are the most important. Except when it comes to cookies. Children are the most important. Thank God for each and every one of you who baked cookies this week. Thank God for every one of you that went out there and you know what, you got everything ready and you... When those children came, they not only got cookies and something to drink or a snow cone. You know what they got? They got a smile. They got a how are you. They got an I love you. They got a can I help you carry that? Every single person that did that, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus wrote it down as you doing that as a personal kindness shown to him. Thank you, teachers, for loving the kids. Thank you, helpers, for going in there and loving those kids and helping them and picking up the ones that got scared or were crying and try to calm them and try to soothe them. Thank you, nursery workers, for the long time that you spent in the nursery, but you cared for the little babies in there. Thank you, young men, who allowed some of our boys, I got to say thank you to them, especially the ones that allowed themselves to be rebaptized during the skit. You know, amen. You did all those crazy skits and silly antics. All of you teenagers who did that, and you know what? Your goal was to put a smile on a child's face. Christ will reward you as if you did a special personal service to him personally. That's not only true of this week, but let me say this, and I need to take time to say this. This happens every week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, every week. I mean that. Right now, people are ministering to children. Right now, people are being kind to children. Right now, people are loving children. Thank God for you nursery workers. I mean it. I know sometimes it's a thankless job, but thank you for being willing to do that. Children's church workers, right now while I'm preaching, one of the reasons we have calm and you can listen is because of children's church. You don't believe it, we'll bring them in here one week and it'll convince all of you. We need children's church. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Those people that are out there, they're not screaming at them and hollering at them and grabbing them and yanking them. They're loving them and smiling and laughing with them and having a good... Now, wait a minute. They do have to behave, and we do teach them to behave. And I'm not saying a child will never get scolded around here. But I believe this, and all you children's workers, listen to me. You treat that child as you would the person of Jesus Christ, because that is who is watching. And that's what he said. I want to say this. Serving children should not be viewed as a punishment. No one here should get to the point in your life that you become too important or too busy to fail to spend some time investing in the next generation. You say, well, I just don't like children. You got a problem. Now, I don't know. I got to tell you this. You've got a problem. I mean, you've got a spiritual problem. You did not get that mindset from Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Well, I hate kids. Well, congratulations. So does Satan. You and Satan have the same mindset. Now listen, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. What a wicked thing to say. My Bible says, lest this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to say this, and I know I'm just taking some time, but I need to. Thank you, bus workers. Now, I don't do this very often, but I need to say it. Thank you, bus workers. Thank you, bus workers. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving the children. Thank you for being willing to be a part of what happens every single week in at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for reserving part of your Saturday for the Lord and for children. Thank you for allowing your Sunday schedule to be turned upside down and inside out. You know why? Because you love children. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to himself. By the way, I'm 100% for the bus ministry. Can I let the cat out of the bag a little bit? Everybody's always wanting to know, Brother Jerry, what do you got planned next? What's going to happen next? All right, I'm going to tell you all at one time. I know this is what God wants us to do in 2010. It's not the only thing, but I know it's one of the things he wants us to do. I know God's already challenged my heart about this, and I prayed about it. And I don't just come up and make these things, statements flippantly, but I'm going to tell you right now. We need to double the size of our bus ministry in 2010. We've got the room to do it. We've got empty classrooms at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's an abomination. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the facilities. By the way, if you haven't been noticing for the last 3 years, we've been discipling the manpower. I'm already wanting, I mean, I'm asking right now. And by the way, I'm not trying to play the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling, I want some young couples. I want some young adults to begin to pray about a bus route. Come on now. Come on now. You say, Brother Jerry, come on, I'm not ignorant. I was a bus worker when I was a teenager. I mean, come on, you're not talking about something. I know I'm not. You need to go into it with both eyes wide open. You need to pray about it. But let me say this. Somebody needs to make a commitment. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody in the next generation has got to say, you know what, hey, if it wreaks a little havoc with our weekend, you know what, we're not going to view it like that. We're going to view it as a blessing that we get to do every weekend. And I'm just saying, you say double, you mean double. I mean double. I mean double the bus routes, double the attendance, double everything. We can do it. We can absorb it. We've got the room. We've got the workers. We've got the manpower. I think we do. We're going to find out. Listen, you know what? I don't want to just have a token bus ministry so that I can have a bus ministry. There's a lot of churches our size, and you know what they want to do? They want to run one bus or one van so they can have on their stationary bus ministry. And there, we've got our bus ministry. And all it is just a token, something that they can say that they have. But you know what? There's a difference between that and a church who gives themselves to this, who believes in this, who reaches out and says, this is how we need to reach the next generation. I'm telling you, there's a lot more young people out there. It's just now rolling out of bed, and you know what? They're lost. They're not in church. They don't have a clue. Somebody's got to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to him. Number four, Christ promises. Just let me give this out to you. Christ promises judgment upon those who lead children astray. Verses 6 through 9, we could reread all of this. Let me read verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow. What do you mean by that word offend? What's that word offend mean? It comes from the root word that actually means to scandalize them, to entrap them, to trip them up, to cause them to stumble, to entice them to sin or into apostasy or into displeasure, to make, to offend. I'm going to give you a cure for our problem in our society with the horrible, wicked, criminal way that our children are being molested and mistreated and abused. There's a little something that I call millstone justice. By the way, I'll read you an article that, you know what, back when, Beth Clark was the editor of the religious page down here at the Linton paper. By the way, when Beth Clark was the editor of the religious page, I wrote a weekly column for a while and then a biweekly column for a while. And you know what, whatever I would write, she would put in there. And let me just say this, she's a brave woman. One day I wrote an article that was published in our local paper. I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I can't remember. I couldn't tell you. But it was entitled, Maybe It's Time for Some Millstone Justice. I'll tell you when I wrote this. Remember the little, and I can't remember, the little Mormon girl, the little blonde girl that somebody came into her house and stole her out of her bed. Remember when that happened? That, I think, is what prompted this article. Let me read it to you. Of late, I dread picking up the newspaper or turning on the morning news. The children of our nation are under assault. Stories of child molestation, incest, and rape are no longer a rarity, but daily fare. Some children have literally been taken out of their own homes, out of their own beds, by sick, subhuman predators. Their innocent bodies are found days later, discarded in patches of forest and vacant lots, thrown away like a piece of garbage after some pervert has tortured, terrorized, and taken their life. It's time we listen to Christ. It's time for some millstone justice. Liberals have a slanted view of Jesus Christ. They only care to talk about him as the meek and lowly Savior of the world. They forget that he is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They love to preach on the Beatitudes, but shy away from the many times he spoke of hell and hypocrisy and coming judgment. Passages like this one seems almost unchristian to them. While it is true that Christ often displayed mercy and compassion, he was also capable of firm denouncement and swift judgment. The words above, copied from the book of Matthew, are Christ's words. Read the chapter. He brought a little child and set him in the midst of the people and taught them some things about children and some things about themselves. He also issued a warning to those who would mistreat or misuse, quote, one of these little ones, unquote. I think it's time for us to take his warning seriously. It's time for the American justice system to stop slapping the hand of child molesters and then turning them free to search for another victim. Maybe it's time to start emptying the jails and loading up the boat. Maybe it's time to invest in some short pieces of rope and a couple hundred millstones. Maybe it's time to head out to the deepest part of the sea. Maybe it's time to make a loud and clear statement. We are not going to stand by and watch our children ravaged. We want to totally fix the problem. We should also load up those who publish and distribute pornography. There are some people here in our community who sell this trash. It's time we stop kidding ourselves. Pornography produces victims. A child, more times than not, eventually becomes easy prey for some pervert whose mind has become infected with the unnatural lust pornography produces. You see, pictures alone will only gratify them for so long. You may think this solution a bit harsh. I don't. I think our children deserve to be protected, and those who victimize them deserve to be punished. By the way, so did the meek and lowly Jesus. Amen. So now you know how I feel about that. The honest truth is, folks, you say, Brother Jerry, do you really believe this? I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I think I stand on the Bible. I believe that to abuse, and I'm not talking about spanking a kid, and you know I'm not. But I'm talking about some of the horrible, horrific crimes that are committed against children, and I can't go into detail because of the ages here. But you know if you read the paper, that ought to be a death penalty sin. That ought to be a death penalty crime. Brother Jerry, how do we stop this? You know how you stop it? You start executing them. I'm talking about due process of law. I'm talking about all of the things that are afforded to them by the Constitution of the United States. I'm not saying that anybody ought to be hung on an accusation. But I'm telling you right now, until we put some teeth behind this thing, this nonsense is going to keep going on. By the way, if you don't like what I'm saying right now, why don't you look in your wicked heart and figure out why you're getting upset? What are you hiding? What's your problem? Who are you trying to protect? Jesus Christ is more worried about protecting children than perverts. Amen. See, Christ promised judgment upon those who lead little children astray, hurt little children, offend little children. And the last thing, of course, we read in this portion of Scripture, I'll give you this and we'll be done. Christ provides protection and companionship to little children. Verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Did you get that? Their angels. Anybody ever heard of a guardian angel? Let me just say this. It's biblical. He said their angel. Every one of these little kids you've seen, some of you think that they had their own personal demons, and maybe they did. I don't know, but I promise you this. They've got angels watching over them. God assigns an angel to every child. And you know what? That angel reports directly to the Father. That's what the Bible says. They meet me face to face. They report to me face to face. I think I'd be a little careful how I treated a child. I think I'd be a little careful what I said about, hey, Daddy, maybe it's time to rein in your temper. I'm not talking about proper discipline. I'm talking about unreasonable temper tantrums. Maybe it's time we start treating young people with the same kind of respect that Christ would treat them. Maybe it's time we adopted this viewpoint. You know what? All those who protect children are angels. I believe that. I watch mamas walk around, and you know what? Boy, they protect children. They love their children. I see daddies protect children. I watch grandma and grandpas. Boy, they always got their eyes watching out for them grandkids. I watch people walking around here. I've watched kids take off across that parking lot, watch five different adults, whether they owned them or not, head for that kid. You know why? Because kids are important. You know what? You're doing angel work when you watch over those kids. Those of you that are bus workers, listen to me a minute. You drop those kids off. Those of you that take the time and you need to do this, you need to do this. If you're not, you need to start on the way home today. But don't you open the door of a bus and send some kid running across the street. You send a bus worker and take that little child's hand, you deliver them right to their mother, right to their father. You know what that is? That's called angel work. You say, Brother Jerry, that takes too much time. No, that's angel work. You know what? You just make sure you do it. Make sure we take care of it. There's a reason we have ladies on every bus. I'm going to tell you, ladies have radar. We have ladies on every bus for a reason. You know why? Because they watch out for it. They see telltale signs. You know what, ladies? You protect our children. You watch out for our children. Men, you guard our children. I mentioned this a while back in a Wednesday night. I'm not going to go into detail. From time to time, there's somebody that comes into this church. I don't get up and announce it. But I'm going to tell you, a church like this will attract once every couple years, some pervert will come sneaking in here. They want to start acting like they're saved and hanging around. Next thing you know, they're asking pastor, hey, is there a position I could work in a children's ministry? All of a sudden, you know, hey, by the way, if you see the pastor out there writing down a license plate number, just say, thank God we got an angel watching for our children. But I'm not afraid to call the authorities. If you want to work in children's ministry here, you're going to fill out a questionnaire. You're going to agree to a background check. If we feel like that ought to be done. And well, I don't know about that. Well, what's your problem with it? I'm sorry. Your feelings are not my biggest concern. These children are my biggest concern. We're going to watch them. We're going to protect them. We're going to fight for them. We're going to run off perverts. We're not going to put up with it. Come on. I know. You say, well, you can yeah but yourself, but I'm going to tell you, for every yeah but, I can tell you a horror story. What I'm saying is this. You know what? We've got to do our job. Now, you know what? It's been easy to preach this message because we've got a group of people around here that love children. Let's keep after it, folks. Let's keep after it. Nursery workers, hang in there. Children's church workers, if you can hear me somewhere, and I doubt if they can hear me. It's too loud out there, but hang in there. Master's Club workers, hang in there. Hang in. Bus workers, hang in there. Parents, hang in there. Love those kids. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us, for the great responsibility that you've laid upon our shoulders. Lord, may we embrace it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious, precious, precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I pray, God, that everyone in the community could say, Blessed Hope Baptist Church loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in their sight. Blessed Hope Baptist Church loves the children of the world. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to see what we got to see this week. Whatever sacrifice was made, Lord, bless those who sacrificed. But may we not view it as that. For every hardship that was endured, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd understand that there's a reason behind it. And I pray that you keep us focused. Don't let us get selfish. God, don't let us get selfish. Selfishness takes people out of a nursery. Selfishness takes people out of a children's church ministry. Selfishness keeps people off of a bus route who really ought to be on a bus route. Lord, I pray, dear God, that help us to have the same mindset towards children as you have. And thank you for the Lord, what you've allowed us to see this week and throughout the history of this church, Lord. It's going to be a great time in heaven one of these days. Help us to do more, Lord, in the upcoming year. Lord, I shared with the people what I know that you want us to do, what I know you've burdened my heart about. That means buses have to be bought. That means they have to be painted. That means workers have to be enlisted. Bus captains have to be trained. People have to step up, take responsibilities that they've maybe never taken, but they're ready for. They can do, or they can with a little training. I pray, Lord, that you'd bear witness with their heart. Lord, ready us. Satan has turned up his assault on children. Help us, Lord, to turn up our efforts on rescuing them and getting them to Jesus. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around. Let me ask you something. Maybe you're a child here today. Say, Preacher, I sure feel loved after that message. Well, you know what? You are. But as much as I love you, you know what? It's not a drop in the bucket compared to how much God loves you. Jesus loves you more than I could ever love you. He loves you more than your mom and dad could ever love you. You know why? Because he's God. Jesus loved you so much that he came down, died on an old rugged cross, was buried, and rose again. He did that to pay for your sins. Mama, let me tell you this. The best gift you can give your children is a saved mama. Daddies, the best gift you can give your children is a saved daddy. I promise you that's true. If there's anybody here today that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure what would happen if you were to die, let me encourage you to be saved. Our heads bowed, eyes are closed. I want to pray for you. Preacher, God's speaking to my heart. I'm not saved. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. God's speaking to my heart. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. How many of you say, preacher, I am saved, but there's something very, very, very specific that God spoke to my heart about during that message. Would you slip your hand up? God spoke to my heart specifically about something. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for God loving us and then teaching us how to love. We'd be helpless and hopeless if it wasn't for you. Now I pray that you'd bless the invitation and time, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to let the piano player begin to play. The altar's open. Maybe God's done something in your heart. Maybe he's beginning to move in your heart in a sweet and special way. Maybe something very specifically that he wants you to do for him. I'll go ahead and mention that Aaron Beaver's come this morning. He's come to present himself for baptism. Aaron was saved a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to let Brother Reiser head him down in that direction. Amen. Another young person saved. Getting ready to be baptized. Aaron showed up this week and he pitched in and helped around here Vacation Bible School. I appreciate Aaron. God's done a work in his heart. Listen to the music. Have thine own way, Lord.